The Rural Health Voice, episode 113, Oral Health Workforce. Welcome to The Rural Health Voice. I am Beth O'Connor, your host. We discuss rural health issues at the grassroots level and how state and federal policies play out in our local communities. Are there any surprises when it comes to the need for improved oral health? Ben Barber, Policy Director at Virginia Health Catalyst, joined me to discuss their oral health workforce gap assessment. Well, welcome, Ben. Good to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Beth.
So you are the policy director for the Virginia Health Catalyst. Why pick health policy as a career?
So I started to get interested in health policy right when I was graduating from college. And that happened to be when the Affordable Care Act was being debated in Congress and ultimately passed. And you might recall it took forever. But for a graduating senior who is just getting interested in the field, you probably couldn't pick a better time. So I walked out of school knowing that this was something that mattered. It was something that interested me. And then I was just really, really fortunate that pretty early on in my career, I was able to take roles and work on projects that exposed me to the issues, exposed me to the folks who are affected by these issues. And that was that. And that was all over 10 years ago.
And what are the policy priorities of Virginia Health Catalyst?
Our mission is to ensure that all Virginians have equitable access to comprehensive health care that includes oral health. And that is a big, ambitious, hairy goal, one that we believe in strongly. And it requires us to take a lot of different looks at that challenge, how to fulfill that mission. So I'm fortunate to be able to work in the policy space. And some of the things that we're really focusing on right now, probably no surprise to you or the folks who listen to this podcast, health workforce. We had a tremendous win, have had several tremendous wins in recent years in terms of expanding Medicaid coverage, adding an adult Medicaid dental benefit. But if you don't have the providers, the dentists, the hygienists, the dental assistants to actually treat human beings, that insurance does not do you a whole lot of good. So we are really laser focused on health workforce. We are, as always, still very much involved in access. So one of the bills that we are following closely in this year's legislative session, one that would extend Medicaid eligibility to all kids who are otherwise eligible except for their immigration status. So we are always, always looking for ways to extend coverage. And then the last item that's relatively new to the Catalyst portfolio, but one that is super interesting, is drinking water. And we believe just fundamentally that all Virginians should have access to safe, fluoridated, affordable drinking water that they trust and is their preferred beverage of choice. And it turns out that's really hard to do. So we are involved, as well as other efforts to try to raise awareness and also try to meet that goal.
And you talked about comprehensive health care that includes oral health. You know, some people may not know the Virginia Health Catalyst used to be called the Virginia Oral Health Coalition. Why expand that scope to have oral health as a piece of the larger puzzle rather than just focus on oral health?
You're absolutely right. We were the Virginia Oral Health Coalition. I came on board right after that change, but I had the privilege of working with the Oral Health Coalition and that version. But to answer your question, at least in my opinion, that change in expansion of mission reflects the fact that oral health is essential to overall health. There is this really hard to shake belief and just reality in the way our health system is structured that oral health is separate from behavioral health, is separate from physical health, so on and so forth. And we just believe that that is not how things should be. So a lot of our work, both in the Oral Health Coalition days and now still in the Catalyst days, is continuing to do everything that we did in terms of advancing access to oral health, but looking at that bigger picture, which is that this is all integrated, and a lot of our work reflects that.
Looking at your website, there are many topics listed that I don't immediately think of when someone mentions oral health. Why is the Virginia Health Catalyst looking into subjects such as racial equity and community health workers?
I have a great privilege of working on community health workers as one of my major focus points at Catalyst. And what I'll say in response to that question is equity, just as I said before, how oral health is essential to overall health, health equity and racial justice is essential to overall health as well. And I can give you a good example of it too. A lot of the time in policy worlds, we look at, well, we do, we look at numbers all the time, and we'll look at averages. And if you looked at every average, you would come away thinking that Virginia is a wealthy state and that we're in pretty good shape and that we're all healthy. And you and I both know that is very much not true. So a lot of that equity piece and that justice piece that we are engaged in is getting really serious and looking at where are the regions, the localities, the communities that don't have access for one reason or another. And then to go into community health workers in particular. So once you put that frame on and look through this issue of access in that way, I think you start to realize that the solutions are so much broader. And when you look at community health workers, they are frontline public health professionals who are either from the community they serve or have a trusted relationship with that community. We have seen firsthand in the oral health context and in other contexts that they have an amazing ability to ensure that folks get access to care, that they get the most out of their care, that when you look at the various health-related social challenges our neighbors are facing, that they're able to address those as well in the community. So it really comes down to taking that bigger lens and looking at those issues and realizing that there are much broader solutions.
I know that poor oral health even is a workforce issue because a lot of frontline positions, if you don't have a good smile, you're not going to get hired.
Yeah, there are health impacts, there are economic impacts, there are social impacts. And when you think about, yeah, how the smile is, it's you, right? It's you give that big smile in a job interview. But I would even take a step back. Your smile is your smile. It's what you look at every morning. It's how you feel about yourself. And if you don't have, and not just a smile, but healthy teeth and gums, I think that really impacts the way that you feel about yourself and go through the world. So it's a really, really good example of how oral health is essential to overall health.
And as we mentioned, just because you have insurance doesn't mean you can get to a dentist. I know I was without a dentist here in Blacksburg, which I don't think was a very rural place for several months. So the Health Catalyst recently released the Oral Health Workforce Gap Assessment. What was the purpose of that project?
To your point, insurance is the floor, in my opinion. Everyone needs to have access to affordable healthcare, but that doesn't mean that you can actually access the healthcare. And in terms of the Oral Health Workforce Gap Assessment, what we were trying to do was really start to wrap our heads around this issue that I think most everyone, at least in the healthcare world, knows exists, but isn't really talking about. So we know that there are health workforce shortages of doctors and nurses, behavioral health professionals. This is not unique to oral healthcare at all. So what we wanted to do was, one, make sure that oral health is not left behind, to make sure that we know what these numbers are so we can ensure that's part of the conversation. And then number two, going back to that equity piece. So if you look, again, statewide, you would see that Virginia, when it comes to the number of oral health providers per capita, you might come away thinking, oh, you know, we're in okay shape. Maybe not the best, but we're okay. But that masks huge, huge disparities. Certainly in a lot of our rural communities, access is just non-existent. But I would also, one of the findings that I found a little surprising was, even in some of our more populous localities, access is a huge issue, because if you have more people who need care, you need more providers, and that supply is just not catching up with demand. So this is really a whole of Virginia challenge.
The assessment identifies two key barriers. One, there's just not enough healthcare professionals in many areas of the Commonwealth. And two, there are not enough oral health professionals who serve uninsured, underinsured, and Medicaid-insured patients. Yet many of us in rural Virginia are familiar with the overall lack of dentists, but I think it might surprise some people to learn that even in urban settings, refusal to accept patients who have something other than private insurance can create a barrier to access. Why would a dentist refuse a patient that has some sort of insurance?
I mean, it's a really, really complicated question with really complicated answers. I'll preface it with that. And what I'll say kind of high level is it is an extraordinary challenge to, one, build a benefit in the first place. So the Medicaid adult dental benefit has only been live for, let's see, 3-4 years now. So that's the first part, is actually having the benefit. Then communicating that benefit both to Medicaid enrollees as well as providers. There's a huge communication piece to this. I think number three, one of the big challenges that we've heard of from our partners does have to do with reimbursement rates. Really proud to share that we were working with our partners and did secure a Medicaid reimbursement rate increase for dental services a couple years ago. And then lastly, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about the program to begin with. When we work with our partners, we hear a lot about the challenges in enrolling and Medicaid and billing. And the truth is, as we've worked with our great partners at Virginia's Medicaid Agency and others, is they are here to help. We have seen them going out literally on the road. We have seen them reaching out to providers across the state, trying to troubleshoot any and all problems that providers may have. But I will totally admit this is a huge work in progress. One of our big goals in 2024 is to have our Future of Public Oral Health Task Force, which are the partners that put this report together, to build on that, to come up with specific priorities and projects to increase that number of providers who accept Medicaid.
What other concerns do you think we should highlight in the report?
I would just take a step back again and say, high level, there aren't enough providers. So we know that it's about 103 out of 133 localities are designated by the federal government as health professional shortage areas for dentists. 103 out of 133. So that's a huge challenge. As we were just talking about, we know that the rate of dentists to accept Medicaid is too low. In terms of those who actually treat Medicaid patients, somewhere around 25 to 30%, either way too low. And then I think the last thing, just in terms of the challenges, is it can be hard to connect to the access to the outcomes sometimes. And I don't ever want to lose sight of that. Here at Catalyst, we want to make sure we're keeping our eyes on the overall goal, which is health. And we know one of the statistics we have in the report, 38% of Virginians had a permanent tooth extracted in 2022. Many, not all, but many of those extractions are preventable. Untreated decay, that can be preventable. Those are the challenges I want to lift up because they're so, I don't want to say easily solvable, but we can make it better.
How can we communicate the need to improve oral health to our elected officials?
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate that I get to do that. Pretty big chunk of my job. But it's actually, I would say, Beth, it's things like this. We had a call just the other day with some of our partners and we were talking about this assessment. And we asked our partners, do any of these facts surprise you? And almost unanimously, the answer was no. So this isn't an issue of unearthing a new problem. We know the problem exists. But one of the rationales for putting together the gap assessment was that you have all this important data in different places. You have all these different partners working on very important things in different institutions and silos. And our hope is that this gap assessment, as well as our broader efforts, will start to, one, raise awareness among the public, and two, start to really raise awareness among policymakers. We've been down at the legislature advocating for oral health and for access. And it's really important that we communicate the assessment and our other resources with policymakers.
And of course, the first step in addressing the workforce gap is to get more students to go into oral health. What could be done to encourage our youth to consider careers in oral health?
So this is really exciting stuff that we're working on here. And as I said, we use the gap assessment as kind of the foundation, as the launching pad. And this year, we are moving full steam ahead to address those questions and problems head on. So in terms of how do you expose even kiddos in elementary school, right? How do you expose them to those careers? So we are working with our partners in the Future of Public Oral Health Task Force to do just that, to literally figure out what are evidence-based programs in other states or that are successful in Virginia that we can replicate to get early exposure to dental oral health careers to kids in school. And then also thinking a little bit more holistically of how do you come up with a career pathway, or I've heard highway a lot, that runs from K through 12 and even beyond. So one of the projects we're working on under this big umbrella is actually coming up with literal maps. You know, if you want to become a dentist, do you want to become a hygienist or a dental assistant? What is that pathway to get there? Because I think there's this assumption with a lot of careers that it's linear. And of course, that's never the case in terms of careers. So trying to put it in front of people in a very concrete way so they can also see, you know, what are the classes you'll take? What are the costs? But also, what are the programs like loan repayment that you might be able to benefit from? So those are a couple of the things. And then lastly, I would say even as these K through 12 students go into, I guess, into high school still, and then into college or community college or technical programs, making it really clear and navigable for these sorts of warm handoffs so they know it's next on that highway or that pathway. And it sounds, I feel like as I say it, it sounds really straightforward and obvious. But of course, the reality is that takes a ton of work and a ton of partners to make that happen.
So if a high school or college student was considering oral health, what advice would you give that person?
Well, my first piece of advice, so if you were in high school, and I didn't know this until I started really delving into this work. So Virginia is home to many different career and technical education programs. Some school districts have dental careers as part of their CTE programs. The first thing I'd say is talk to your guidance counselor, your teacher, whoever that person is at your school or your district, and find out if there is a CTE program in dental careers. That is the first thing. Number two is we are blessed in Virginia. You know, we have one school of dentistry, but we have lots of other programs in hygiene and dental assisting. So there are a lot of dental assisting programs, some of which are offered through our community colleges. And those are pretty diversely located throughout Virginia. So if you're graduating school, you know, maybe you're not sure what you want to do. You think you might be interested in an oral health career, but you don't want to go to dental school right away or go right to training for a hygienist position. Definitely consider looking at dental assisting and what community colleges offer near you.
The last question I ask all my guests, if you could do anything, what would you do to improve health and healthcare in rural America?
Anything. I'm going to give such a disappointing answer, I feel like. Oh, I'm nervous. This is definitely not being as creative as I should be. And I'm going to avoid giving a strictly policy answer because I do that all day. One of the things that I enjoy the most that I get to do in this job a fair bit is teaching. What I really love about policy is not just the change of it, because that's important, but making sure that you also can educate folks about that change, be able to communicate and teach. And something that I would love to do in this life, not in some fantasy world, is I would love to be in a position through my job here and in the future to take whatever policy changes we are working on and whatever we can do to advance access in rural Virginia and to be able to go directly into those communities at the clinics, the community colleges, so on and so forth, and to be able to educate folks about their options, educate folks about how policy can really, really make their lives better.
Thank you so much for joining me today. That's Ben Barber with his wish for improved access for everyone. If you want to be part of the conversation about rural health, visit the Virginia Health Catalyst website and sign up for their email announcements. The Rural Health Voice is the podcast of the Virginia Rural Health Association. It is sponsored by the Virginia State Office of Rural Health and underwritten by the National Rural Health Association.